This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
How would you love a chance to save some money on car insurance? GEICO can help. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote and get started seeing how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Mask inconsistencies. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka, on this Wednesday, April 20th. Glad you could join us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
A judge's decision to reject a federal mask mandate on planes and in airports has created more confusion here where face coverings are still required.
Extreme weather on opposite sides of the country. We'll update a wildfire causing evacuations in Arizona and snowfall in New England.
In business news, Netflix is losing subscribers, so the company is considering a version of its streaming service that would cost less but also have advertisements.
And schools paying tutoring companies millions, even when there's no proof that their teaching methods work.
There are school districts all around the country spending millions, in some cases tens of millions of dollars on tutoring. And so I was really looking at, you know, where's that money going? Is it helping? And I ended up finding kind of a big business for online tutoring companies where a lot of this money is headed.
Sarah Randazzo at the Wall Street Journal about online tutoring companies competing for government dollars. The Justice Department says it will appeal a ruling that eliminated mask mandates for public transportation if the CDC feels it's necessary. In a statement released a day after a Florida judge ended the sweeping mandate, which required face coverings on planes and trains and in transit hubs like airports, Justice Department spokesman Anthony Coley said officials believe that the federal mask order was a valid exercise of CDC authority. White House spokeswoman Jen Psaki.
We're continuing to encourage people to wear masks in public transit. They'll make that decision because it's obviously not being implemented at this moment in time, but we'll continue to abide by CDC guidance.
The decision by a federal judge in Florida on Monday to throw out a mask requirement on public transportation did away with the last of the major federal pandemic rules and led to a mishmash of new locally created rules. After the judge's decision, major airlines and airports in places like Dallas, Atlanta, Los Angeles, and Salt Lake City dropped the mask requirement and made it optional. New York City, Chicago, Los Angeles, and Connecticut continued to require them on mass transit. Overseas now, Russia earlier today gave Ukrainian fighters in Mariupol a new ultimatum to surrender. Thousands of Russian troops backed by artillery and rocket barrages were advancing in what Ukrainian officials have called the Battle of the Donbas. Russia's nearly 8-week-long invasion has failed to capture any of Ukraine's largest cities, forcing Moscow to refocus in and around separatist regions in the east. Sergei Kislytsia is Ukraine's representative to the UN.
That is the Russian interpretation of heroism and courage. To kill hundreds of unarmed civilians, to rape dozens of women and girls, and finally to flee from the advancing Ukrainian forces.
Gaining control of Mariupol would let Moscow claim a swath of Ukrainian territory from Crimea on the Black Sea to Luhansk in the eastern Donbas region and free up thousands of Russian troops to join the looming eastern assault. But not a single Ukrainian soldier had laid down their weapons after an earlier ultimatum to surrender lapsed, so Russia's defense ministry renewed its deadline. Forest officials in Arizona say a wildfire burning 14 miles northeast of Flagstaff has forced people from their homes and has reached up to 6,000 acres in size with 0% containment as of last evening. The so-called tunnel fire was reported Sunday afternoon. The cause is still under investigation. A fire management officer said aviation resources had to remain grounded due to unprecedented winds. Flames were as high as 100 feet and wind gusts reached 50 miles an hour. Coconino County Supervisor Patrice Horstman.
Approximately 2,068 people live in the area. From this, 766 households have been evacuated. Over 1,000 animals have been evacuated.
More than 200 firefighters and other personnel were assigned to the blaze in a section of Highway 89, which runs north from Flagstaff toward the Utah border, was closed. Officials anticipate the rest of the week to be challenging, with sustained winds, low humidity, and no precipitation in the forecast.
This is a metaphor for your business's journey. Sometimes it feels like you're going 100 miles an hour, barely keeping up. But to cruise through challenges, you need someone who's right there with you. That's what Dell Technologies Advisors do. They have the Windows PCs and tech advice you need to get past whatever's in front of you and get where you want to go. Call an advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL. A start to a simpler experience with Windows 11 Pro.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Wednesday. The 2022 election was always going to be a bear for Democrats. The only question was how bad it might get. At the moment, it appears really bad. President Biden's cratering approval rating has his party scrambling to avoid losses so deep that it can't dig out of the hole in 2024. But there are some factors that could change things. Here to explain is Stephen Shepard, senior campaigns editor at Politico. Steve, set the scene.
Republicans definitely have the upper hand in the battle for the House. They only need to make up 5 seats. They're well on their way to that. It's hard to see a way for Democrats to keep the House at this point. The Senate is more competitive, though Republicans do have the advantage in our estimation. But we identified kind of 5 things that could disrupt the midterm landscape, some that might help Democrats hold on to the Senate, while others that might lead to a bigger wave election for Republicans. And the first one is coming up, and we'll start there. And that is with some of these primaries that we're going to see beginning in just a couple of weeks. We have primaries the first Tuesday in May in Ohio and Indiana. There's a Republican Senate primary in Ohio that's gotten a lot of attention. That's kind of the first of a really run of consequential primaries that are going to, I think, impact the general election in a real way in some of these states and districts. That's one of our X factors for how this is all going to play out.
Wow. All right. So where are we watching, say, some of these primary races that might tell us something?
Well, I'm gonna look first at the Ohio Senate race. This is more, Ohio's definitely been trending toward Republicans, and it's hard to see whether it's J.D. Vance, whom former President Trump has endorsed in that race, or someone else winning that primary. It's hard to see how that necessarily puts the general election more in play for Democrats, though it could be pretty competitive under the right circumstances. Some other ones that I'll point to, North Carolina Senate. Trump has endorsed Congressman Ted Budd there, though Democrats think he's more beatable than the other main Republican candidate in the race, former Governor Pat McCrory. North Carolina, a swing state, but one where Democrats haven't won a presidential or Senate election since 2008. So Republicans on a long winning streak there.
We're speaking with Steve Shepard, senior campaigns editor at Politico. He's written a piece about plot twists that could upend the midterms. You referenced blurred lines. What's that about?
Well, so As your listeners, I'm sure, know, we have spent the past year or so redrawing all of the country's congressional maps, which we do once a decade for redistricting and reapportionment with the 2020 census. There are 3 states that we're still waiting on. Florida, which is working to redraw its lines this week. Missouri and New Hampshire, their congressional maps are still unfinished. Candidates don't know what districts they're going to run in. As we've seen over the past couple of decades, how the lines are drawn has a huge impact on who's able to win some of these races. And a lot of times they talk about politicians picking their voters, not voters picking their politicians. We also have a number of states that have finished the process are seeing their maps challenged in court, places like New York and Kansas. Democrats have done, after being wiped out in redistricting in 2010, they have been more aggressive in states where they've had the power to redraw the lines to draw them in a way that's politically advantageous or gerrymander in their favor, which is something that Republicans did to a T after 2010.
Boy, finish up, if you would, by touching on the abortion politics here.
Yeah, this is something when I ask people what could change between now and November, this came up from folks on both sides of the aisle. The Supreme Court has heard an abortion case out of Mississippi. Their decision is widely anticipated to come probably in late June or early July. That's when the court tends to release its more controversial decisions at the very end of its term before leaving for the summer. This is one that folks think could really upend the landscape. If the new conservative majority reverses or significantly pairs back abortion rights that have existed in the U.S. since the 1973 Roe v. Wade ruling, this could have a massive impact in some of these, especially these state races, because if abortion rights are left up to the states, this is going to become a campaign issue in blue, red, and purple states alike, as candidates jockey to make expanding or restricting abortion rights in their state a signature campaign issue. And right now, candidates do, especially some Republicans, campaign on working toward it. But you know, the Supreme Court has, every time a lot of these cases have come to them in the past, they have struck down these laws. That might not happen this time.
Stephen Shepherd, senior campaigns editor at Politico. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
The Biden administration is expected to announce another substantial security assistance package for Ukraine this week. The package is set to be about the same size as the $800 million military aid package announced last week, White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki.
Certainly, we will continue to provide them more ammunition as we will provide them more military assistance.
Meanwhile, Russia has set a new ultimatum for surrender in the battered city of Mariupol, where Ukrainian forces and reportedly hundreds of civilians are holed up in a steel plant. Vastly outnumbered, the Ukrainian troops have pledged to keep fighting.
Number two.
Heavy winds kicked up a towering wall of flames outside a northern Arizona tourist town, ripping through two dozen structures and sending residents of more than 700 homes fleeing. Coconino County Sheriff Jim Driscoll.
The fire was moving so fast, many of those officers were in harm's way themselves.
Flames as high as 100 feet raced through an area of scattered homes, dry grass, and pine trees on the outskirts of Flagstaff as wind gusts of up to 50 miles an hour pushed the blaze over a major highway.
Number three.
The Justice Department says it will appeal a federal judge's ruling that voided the federal mask mandate for travelers if the CDC believes masking remains necessary. The CDC has not yet signed off on an appeal, saying it would continue to assess the need for a mask requirement. Shanghai allowed 4 million more people outside of their homes today as antivirus controls that shut down China's biggest city eased, while the International Monetary Fund cut its forecast of Chinese economic growth and warned the global flow of industrial goods might be again disrupted. 12 million people in the city of 25 million were allowed to go outdoors following the first round of easing last week. Large gatherings are still prohibited. Well, things aren't so chill at Netflix anymore. For the first time in more than a decade, the number of Netflix subscribers fell, leading the streaming company to hint it will start cracking down on account password sharing. Netflix estimates more than 100 million households are breaking its rules by sharing passwords. The company is also considering offering a lower-priced ad-supported version of its service.
More importantly, Jen, this Friday, Ozark Season 4, Part 2.
All right.
That's all that's on my schedule. That's all I got for you.
All right.
Thank you, Jen. Coming up next, schools using unproven online tutoring companies. Want to eat healthier, but every supplement you've ever tried seems like the better it is for you, the worse it tastes? Then you have to try AG1 from Athletic Greens. I started taking AG1 because I wanted more energy and better gut health. What I didn't expect, the taste is better than any supplement I've ever had. I drink it, like it says, before anything else when I wake up. I guzzle those 8 to 10 ounces before my coffee and start my day knowing I've already gotten the recommended daily intake of all the good fruits and veggies. There's definitely a mental boost knowing you've started the day off on the right foot. I tackle the day now with more confidence and energy. AG1, by the way, is not only lifestyle friendly, it's cheaper than getting all the different supplements yourself. Try AG1. I love this product. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/Gordon. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/Gordon to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. athleticgreens.com/Gordon. Thanks for being with us. Schools are racing to spend billions of federal stimulus dollars earmarked to help students make up for lost instruction time, often contracting with tutoring companies that have no proof their methods are effective. Sarah Randazzo, education reporter at the Wall Street Journal, found that an influx of $122 billion into public education has attracted legions of online tutoring companies. Sarah, explain.
We've been digging deep into a boatload of money that school districts got from the federal government. There's almost $200 billion that has flowed from the federal government to public school districts in COVID relief money. And so I was looking at a chunk of that that's going to tutoring. And there's school districts all around the country spending millions, in some cases tens of millions of dollars on tutoring. And so I was really looking at, you know, where's that money going? Is it helping? And I ended up finding kind of a big business for online tutoring companies where a lot of this money is headed.
Okay. So as you point out in the story, some of these tutoring companies offer no proof that their methods are effective.
Yeah. So a big part of the federal money that went out is that they said you're supposed to spend this money to help recover from the pandemic, and in particular on what they call evidence-based programs. And there's whole definitions of, you know, what makes an evidence-based program, but really it means something that's done some kind of study validation showing, hey, kids who went through our program started knowing X, they ended knowing Y, you know, therefore there was a leap in knowledge, our programs are effective.
Wow. Is there any in-person tutoring, or it's all online?
So there definitely are places doing in-person tutoring, but it's hard. There's staffing shortages for teachers already. School districts that are trying to use teachers to also tutor, it's a bit of a big ask. You know, even if they're paying more, if you're a teacher who at the end of the school day is exhausted, do you really want to stay another hour or two and do tutoring?
Right. We're speaking with Sarah Randazzo, education reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Her story is called "School Students Are So Behind Due to Pandemic. Schools Pay Millions for Tutoring." One of these companies you looked at was this paper education company, which was founded in Montreal. What'd you find there?
Yeah, so they're one of the bigger players in terms of marketing and dollars. They've got districts, 350 school districts around the country have signed up. They have the whole state of Mississippi. They're in the process of signing a contract with the state of Tennessee. And they're one of these 24/7 chat companies. And so they basically say their big pitch is, we give access to every student in your district, 24/7 all day. And so that's our big value add.
Does it happen where, you know, a teaching method in school A does not necessarily match what, I don't know, a teacher from somewhere else is trying to offer?
Yeah, so that's a big problem that people said with paper is, you know, their tutors are in the U.S. and Canada. They're mostly college students or recent graduates. And so they don't know where a student is located when they're helping them. So that, you know, they see a question from Susie about fractions. And so they start explaining how to do the fraction problem in the way that maybe they were taught. But, you know, California, a lot of other states have what's called the Common Core curriculum that has very different ways of solving math than what I, you know, grew up with learning math.
Yeah. One of the people you talked to was this Lana Medina in Southern California. What was her experience with this?
Yeah, so she had a mixed bag. Her daughter is in a French immersion program, and so they first found paper because she had a really complicated French assignment that she was in. So she was able to chat for hours that day, and she's still used it regularly for her French homework and really loved it.
How do school districts determine, I guess, who they're going to choose for this?
Yeah, so there's been these huge RFP processes all around the country. Charlotte Mecklenburg in North Carolina had more than 50 companies bid when they said, hey, we want to hire some tutoring companies. So there's, you know, kind of these big pitch processes happening everywhere, and then they sift through and create grading rubrics and, you know, kind of come up with their winners.
Thanks, Sarah. Sarah Randazzo, education reporter at the Wall Street Journal. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. The way you use the internet has changed dramatically over the last decade, but security tools, for the most part, have stayed the same. Between your photos, finances, devices, and connections, your world is more online than ever. Aura provides complete digital security all in one easy-to-use app. Aura protects you from the worst of the internet so you can still enjoy the best of it with digital security protection to keep your online finances, personal info, and tech safe from threats. It gives me peace of mind to know Aura protects me from identity theft, financial fraud, malware, scam sites, and so much more with one simple subscription. All plans come with $1 million in identity theft insurance to help recover your stolen funds, and experienced U.S.-based customer support is ready to help. For a limited time, Aura is offering our listeners a 30-day free trial when you visit aura.com/Gordon. Go to aura.com/Gordon to get complete protection, huge savings, and a 30-day free trial. That's A-U-R-A, aura.com/Gordon. Aura, the new standard in digital security.
Advancing the conversation, identifying trends, and informing the world. This is America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Glad you could be with us. Welcome into Wednesday, April 20th. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. The Justice Department may appeal a decision to end the federal mask mandate. Evacuations from a wildfire north of Flagstaff, Arizona. Power outages from a storm in New England. Florida's governor says lawmakers will consider repealing the governing structure for Disney, which could end special privileges the company enjoys. The pay package for the head of the advertising technology company Trade Desk was more than $800 million last year. And today is the unofficial marijuana holiday known as 420. This portion of the program is brought to you by Dell. Sometimes it feels like your business is going 100 miles an hour, barely keeping up. Dell Technologies advisors have the Windows PCs and tech you need to help you get past whatever's in front of you. Call an advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. A start to a simpler experience with Windows 11 Pro. In this current mad dash to find housing, the first 48 hours are proving to be crucial to either make or break a deal, especially for prospective middle-class homebuyers. Here's this morning's Jennifer Koshenka.
Is the housing crunch showing any signs of easing? Probably not yet. Terry Collins of USA Today has written a story called Will the Middle Class Survive a Nationwide Housing Shortage? And joins us now. Terry, what's the big picture look like in housing?
It is tough to get a house, no matter if you have a lot of money, and no matter if you're even trying to come up together for a first-time homebuyer, it's maybe twice as hard right now at the moment to get a house.
Is it just because there aren't enough houses or because there are so many people looking, or a combination of both?
I think it's a combination of both. There's a lot of people looking. We have in my story, I highlighted a millennial couple from Charlotte, North Carolina, that, you know, looking for a home. And they ended up, you know, after a search, getting one in the neighborhood where they currently have an apartment. But, you know, they agreed to, you know, making some certain contingencies, and, you know, and I included, you know, taking a home kind of as is, you know, not, in, you know, it's in good shape, they say, you know, but of course, without having, you know, not being as I guess, maybe as fully repaired, finished, and also offering $13,000 over the asking price, and they'll be able to close on their home later this month. So there's some contingencies, or you can call them sacrifices, that some, if you want to get into the home that you want in a very competitive space, some of the things you have to think about.
We're speaking with Terry Collins of USA Today. Terry, over the last year or more, we've heard horror stories about bidding wars, you know, people getting up to 10, 15 bids on a house and trying to go against a lot of other people. And anecdotally, hearing a lot of stories about people just dropping out and saying, forget it, this is not the time to try to buy a house. Are bidding wars easing at all anywhere?
Yeah, the bidding wars are just tough. It's astronomical. It's kind of talked about before. You've seen people, you know, bid over from as much as $5,000 to $13,000. You saw with a couple in North Carolina, to as much as $20,000, $30,000. Sellers are taking all cash offers. It's to the point of it's just a mad race and dash. And not to scare people off from buying a home, because it's, you know, one of the things that, you know, this country is built off of is home buying and creating and drawing equity from your home, giving you a sense of ownership and to a degree some wealth.
Terry, your story notes that some experts say that people who are looking for a home have turned to so-called sweeteners. What does that mean?
Deal sweeteners are to a point where you're kind of like making like bargains. You know, that can include anything from paying fees associated with due diligence, which is examining the physical and financial condition of the property and the area where the property is located, paying the seller's attorney fees, maybe cleaning costs after the seller leaves the home. Buyers may allow the seller to stay in on the property for a month after, for free after closing. Just kind of like little deals here, you know, negotiating points and things like that, just to ensure that you're in line and probably are able to get the home.
Now, of course, we know that the Fed has been raising interest rates and mortgage rates have been going up. Will that deter some people from getting into the market, and will that actually help in some regards to bring prices down for people who are selling? They'll realize they can't get what they thought they might be able to get.
It could be a little bit of both, to be honest, the way things are right now, housing, it's you know, it's a seller's market, so it's really hard to say. I look at it like this, and this is probably the large scale. If Congress isn't able to, you know, look at where we are with Build Back Better, you know, kind of like just in limbo right now, stalled. That's reflective of maybe some parts of the housing market. Like, if you're able to get a house, great. For others, it might take longer, depending on your means and what you're willing to also do to get on, if you're willing to make certain contingencies.
Reporter Terry Collins at USA Today with this morning's Jennifer Koschenka. Coming up next, the Mic Drop.
Today's Mic Drop is brought to you by Dell. For your small business needs, call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Wednesday. It is time now for the Mic Drop with this morning's Dave Duncan.
Good morning, Gordon. Well, MLB fans are getting a taste of what NBA fans have been dealing with since 2017, with the new CBA allowing teams to rent ad space on jerseys starting in 2023. And the first team to do so, the San Diego Padres, became the first team to announce a deal. The Padres are partnering with Motorola, unveiling a video with Manny Machado and Blake Snell. But the star of the video was the giant Motorola patch that will appear on the sleeve of the jerseys. Of course, baseball fans aren't known for embracing change, and this is no different. Fans, of course, took to social media to let their voices be heard. This is unacceptable. I don't want baseball uniforms looking like soccer uniforms, one Twitter follower said. This is bad for baseball. I want to see a jersey, not a billboard, and it's huge. But couldn't it have been brown and gold to match the jerseys better? That's the one thing I don't understand. The patch is gigantic. It's a huge patch on the sleeve of the Padres jersey.
Yeah.
But they couldn't. I guess I know
it's
more.
Brown.
It doesn't. Yeah, but it's not. It doesn't match the Padres colors. That's one of the things I just don't understand. Like, you want to integrate it with the jersey.
Yeah. Well.
Why not?
Motorola's paying.
Right? A ton of money for this, and yeah. It's. I'm a casual baseball fan. It doesn't bother me seeing this stuff, but baseball fans, traditional baseball fans, don't take change well, and this is going to be a huge change for them. They freaked out when they saw a little Nike swoosh on the side of a jersey.
Yeah.
So, and this is one of those things that's just going to, for the 2023 season, it's going to divide fans left and right on, you know, what's acceptable and what's not acceptable.
Well, maybe it won't divide the Padres too much, since that could increase jersey sales they change sponsors from year to year like soccer teams in Europe do.
This is something you're used to because you're a huge soccer fan.
So I mean, in European soccer, I mean, the logo is just the entire front of the jersey, pretty much.
Like, the first time I watched soccer, I think the name of the team I was watching was what I thought was what was said on the front of the jersey. No, it's just it's a sponsorship, apparently.
Standard Charter is, is Liverpool's jersey. You don't even know, if you don't know soccer and you don't know the crest of the team that's on, the upper left chest area.
Damn, Standard Charter's doing really well this year.
You don't know who the team is, in all likelihood.
Nah, and if anybody's watched this video, the podcaster Molly Knight summed this up pretty well. Nobody looks like they're having fun in the video. It ends, just the face it ends on is just, it's spectacular how bored these people look. She wrote, "This looks like a hostage video."
Yeah. So. I guess you don't have to be happy to have the patch, right?
No.
That's not part of the agreement with Motorola.
No,
Motorola
smiles,
just wants space.
No. As long as the patch is there, that's all they care about. An Indiana man who lost his wallet at a baseball game had the item returned to him after it was found wedged in the seat at the stadium 8 months later. Brandon Puckett of Indianapolis said he noticed his wallet was gone while he was attending a game between the Fort Wayne Tin Caps and Dayton Dragons at Parkview Field in Fort Wayne. He attempted to search the area, but he could not find it. Richard Street, an usher at Parkview Field, was cleaning the seats in preparations for the Tin Caps season opener when he spotted something wedged in the seats. Street pulled out what turned out to be the wallet. He showed it to a TV crew that happened to be nearby. They tracked down Puckett and made arrangements to return the long-lost wallet. Have you ever lost a wallet?
Not like that. Yeah, not in that fashion.
I've lost one, credit cards, wallet, credit cards,
that's
money.
A pain.
driver's license. It's not so much the money. It's the credit cards that you always worry about. And the driver's license. It's such a pain to renew a driver's license.
How about this thing, though? Survive the Indiana winter, apparently.
That all along. And nobody else noticing it? That's, I mean, is that, does that say that, is attendance that bad? Or is, I mean, it is, it's a, a minor league baseball Maybe team, so you never know.
Didn't have a lot of cash on them, so it wasn't really a fat object exactly, to wedge between the seats, right? Thanks, Dave. 12 minutes in front of the hour. On This Morning, America's First News.
This is a metaphor for your business's journey. Sometimes it feels like the course keeps changing right before your eyes. And in order to maneuver it, you need an expert by your side. That's what Dell Technologies Advisors do. They have the Windows PC and tech solutions you need to help you get out in front and stay ahead of the game. Call an advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL. A start to a simpler experience with Windows 11 Pro.
Don't forget, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. You can follow me directly on Twitter as well at Gordon Deal. 9 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres is calling for a four-day halt in fighting in Ukraine starting tomorrow to coincide with Orthodox Christians' Holy Week observances.
The onslaught and terrible toll on civilians we have seen so far could pale in comparison to the horror that lies ahead. This cannot be allowed to happen.
Russia's deputy UN ambassador said the ceasefire request was not sincere and would only provide time to arm Ukrainian soldiers.
Number two.
Russia has set a new deadline for the surrender of the battered city of Mariupol, saying it would once again offer Ukraine the option to stop fighting and lay down their weapons. An initial ultimatum demanding surrender by last Sunday was ignored by Ukrainian forces in the city who have pledged to fight till the end.
Number three.
Heavy, wet snow blanketed parts of the Northeast, knocking out power for hundreds of thousands of people amid a spring storm. The nor'easter dumped 18 inches of heavy snow in central New York yesterday. The storm also brought strong winds to New England, topping at 142 miles per hour on Mount Washington, New Hampshire. Three Navy sailors assigned to the USS George Washington aircraft carrier have died within a week. The causes of their deaths remain under investigation, but the Navy says there's no initial indication to suggest there's a correlation between the three deaths. One sailor was found unresponsive last Friday and later died in a Newport News, Virginia medical center. Two other sailors assigned to the aircraft carrier were found dead on April 9th and April 10th at separate off-site locations. The Navy says it's cooperating in an investigation. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has asked the legislature to repeal a law allowing Disney World to operate a private government over its properties in the state, the latest volley in a feud between the governor and the entertainment giant over what critics have dubbed the Don't Say Gay law. Disney's Reedy Creek Improvement District was created by the legislature in 1967. It spans 25,000 acres and gives the company broad powers to control what happens on Disney property. Do as I say, not as I do. As more companies call their employees back to the office, executives continue to work from home. New research from Future Forum finds that non-executive employees are nearly twice as likely as executives to be working from the office 5 days a week. Of those who have returned full-time, 55% say they would prefer a more flexible work arrangement.
Oh, man. Get in the office, C-suite. Thanks, Jen.
How would you love a chance to save some money on car insurance? GEICO can help. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote and get started seeing how much you could save.
Thanks for being with us. In a first for telepresence communication, a NASA flight surgeon was holoported to the International Space Station, appearing and conversing as a virtual presence in real time. ScienceAlert.com says if it sounds like Star Trek, you're not too far off. After all, Star Trek Voyager did feature an artificial physician who was a holographic projection. But this isn't science fiction. When NASA flight surgeon Joseph Schmid was beamed up to the ISS in October, the illusion was made possible thanks to Microsoft's holoportation technology, which lets users interact with 3D representations of remote participants in real time. Unlike traditional holographic projections that appear to hover in the air for anybody to see, holoportation requires the use of an augmented reality headset for the wearer to interact. This way, scientists could virtually interact with real-time 3D representations of remote participants on Earth, space stations, or other spacecraft. enabling collaborations that can be much more involving and immersive than standard 2D video calls. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.